coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Good Saturday morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in beautiful Mobile, Alabama. We want to thank our listeners on WYEA 106.5 and the Lake 105.1 on Radio Alabama for always tuning in as we have you covered from the top of the state to the bottom of the state and all points in between 52 weeks out of the year. I'm Corey Labounty, sitting in for the big guy, Rick Cleveland, who's on assignment this morning, joined as always on the Prep Sports Report by Coach Mark Lasseter. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Corey. Good morning, Dalton. I hope everybody's doing well this morning. It's a beautiful drive across the bay this morning. I mean, it's just, I like that ride in on Saturday morning when it's nice and clear and water's kind of smooth. You see the guys fishing, you know, the guys out in the water in their boats, they're fishing, and the guys standing on the bank are loading up the buckets. You know, I saw one guy this morning, man, he had a nice one on. He was pulling it in as I drove by, so I love seeing that. I love being a part of watching that. But it's a beautiful day, and it's a great day to be alive, brother.
No doubt about it. Dalton Orwig, we wouldn't have this show if it wasn't for him. He does a wonderful job running the board. Good morning, Dalton.
Hey, morning, Corey. Morning, Coach. And, yeah, now that Cristobal has left us,
yes,
weather's looking good. Got golf on TV this weekend, yep. some real competitive golf, and then the high school guys and the college guys all getting back to work. So it's a great weekend in my book.
No question about it. And you can call us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines here on the Prep Sports Report. Ian will answer your phone calls at 251-343-0106. That's 251-343-0106. We always love hearing from you. And I tell you, it's that time of year to where it is officially summer. You know, the temperature's rising. But last week, a lot of schools across the state of Alabama had an opportunity to start getting back on campus and to start the social distancing guidelines and practicing with your teams. And again, you're looking at this week, the Mobile County Public School System were able to get their kids back on campus and start things back off as soon as the weather cleared out from the tropical storm. And I just saw a lot of excitement, not only from the coaches, but from the players. And I know, Coach Lasseter, you were at ground zero this week at Bayside Academy, having an opportunity to see your football guys.
Yeah, it was really good to see them. You know, you don't realize how much you miss them until, you know, they walk in and it's like, you know, it's like, oh, man, there you go. There's a breath of fresh air to see these kids walking in. And you can see what they've done. You know, I know they were trying to get finished school out, but a lot of them, you know, continue to get ready physically and stay in shape and come in. And most of, I think I would say the majority of our guys stayed in shape. We didn't, of course, we're not as big as we'd ever like to be, but they came in, they worked hard this week, and it was good to have them there. And, you know, it's strange. Now, I'm going to tell you, it is weird, you know, with the mask and the distancing and all the things that you have to do. It is different from what we've ever done before in the past. It is way different. And it is, you know, humans are social creatures for the most part. We're just social. And so kids will be doing something, and before you know it, they've turned around and they're within like 3 feet of each other talking about what they were doing. And not just, I'm going to try this amount of weight. I'm going to put this on. You know, you have to continually remind them, hey, 6 feet, 6 feet. And it's a habit that you've got to continually stay on to keep them separated from one another, especially when they're in closed environment.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, speaking about masks, Future Ones is selling masks for any teams or anyone on the job who would like to get the mask, because it really does prevent the spread. Not only if you don't care about anyone else, you care about yourself, Future Ones can have you covered. You can reach out to me on Twitter at CA LaBounty and get your Future Ones mask. You can get it stocked, you can get it sublimated, anything that you would like on it, we can get you taken care of. And that's just the new norm. And I was seeing yesterday where Under Armour sold out of their new athletic mask in less than 10 minutes. They were selling their mask for $30 a piece. And Under Armour has already sold out of the mask. And again, you look at these companies such as Nike and Adidas, you'll start seeing this new fabric, the technology, the wicking moisture to where it's easier to breathe, and it's not those cloth masks that kind of make you feel claustrophobic. We'll continue to see those fly off the shelf.
Yeah, and I'm interested, Coach, you know, the NFL, NCAA, everybody has put out their own, you know, rules regarding coming back from the pandemic. And I think was it John Harbaugh yesterday in the NFL who said that basically following their rules that they've set for coming back and working out and showering and all these, that he said, I think that it's impossible to follow these down to the letter. The NFL's rules are different from the AHSAA's rules, but do you feel like this is something that teams all over the state will be able to keep up for however long they need to?
I think you can. I think to me, high school coaches, and I'm not trying to toot a horn here, but I think high school coaches have the ability to adapt as well as anybody I know. You adapt to various things. You've looked at teams' offenses, how they changed and adapted as time went by, and defenses had to do the same thing. It's the same thing in the weight room. It's the same thing in your work ethic. It's the same thing in what now you're trying to teach in your programs about social living, how you relate to one another. That's a part of it. You have to adapt to that. And this is the same thing. Now, it is hard. You know, and I've been thinking, what are we going to do, you know, in August if we have to put a mask on underneath that helmet? You know, is that going to be the way it's done? In my brain, I'm thinking, okay, well, they've got the glass thing you can do for your eyes. Why can't they bring it all the way down and cover your face?
Yes.
That might be something you look at. The things that Under Armour is selling, I think, is like a sleeve. It goes around your neck and you pull it up over your face, and it's to me is the best one. You know, the ones that you hook behind your ears are irritating,
mm-hmm.
and the other, that kind would be much simpler. And if they can come up with a way that you can breathe through it effectively and it doesn't restrict you in your helmet, that may be something that we look to, but people are going to figure out a way to get it done. I'm just telling you.
There's a dollar sign out there that's begging for it, and the technology, and as soon as this pandemic hit and they mentioned masks being required, you knew athletics was at the forefront of that. And, you know, there's going to be a way. Basketball, we know how close proximity you are in basketball, guarding one-on-one, so you're not going to get any closer than that. Football, again, at least you do have a helmet there, but there's going to be ways, whether it's through visors or some type of shield in football or some type of lightweight mask in basketball that won't affect your breathing. But again, there are trainers have been on top of this across the state of Alabama, not only with heat issues that we know are coming during the month of late July, early August into September. Our trainers always are aware of that, but now you're aware of distress behind a mask, someone where you can't see them, and all of a sudden now you're worried about other respiratory issues. So again, this pandemic has caused changes and shifts in the way coaches are bringing their student athletes back to campus. And coming up here in the next segment, we'll have an opportunity to speak with Ann Schilling. And Ann Schilling, again, she's a Hall of Fame volleyball coach from right here in Bayside Academy. We'll talk to her about what kind of drills she's been able to implement, because volleyball is a situation to where volleying the ball back and forth, you have to share a ball. And I'm curious to know in volleyball what stance she's taking, what kind of drills she's having to relearn, because again, this is a Hall of Fame coach who's having an opportunity now to learn something new as well. But you mentioned how adaptive high school coaches have and will become, and again, there's no book, no one wrote the book on this to see how did someone else do it, so they're learning from one another. Also joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report will be Coach Daryl LeBeau, the head football coach at Pleasant Grove in Birmingham, Alabama, and Hall of Famer Buddy Anderson. Look forward to talking to him at the top of the hour. He spent over 40 years at Vestavia Hills. This will be his last football coaching year here this 2020 football season. And the new head basketball coach at Daphne High School, DeMarcus Mosley, will join us here on the Prep Sports Report this morning. So we have a great and packed show for you this morning here on PSR. Don't go anywhere. And Shillings coming up next right here on the Prep Sports Report.
CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Corey LeBounty, joined by Coach Mark Lasseter. Dalton running the boards for us. In on the phone lines, you can call the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communications lines at 251-343-0106. And joining us right now on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication lines is Hall of Fame volleyball coach Ann Schilling. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing well, Coach. Good to hear you this morning.
Blessed by the best, Coach. Always a pleasure, and thank you for taking your time this Saturday morning to talk with us here on the Prep Sports Report. And it's been a little while since we've talked to you, I think since the last time you won the state championship. Coach, this pandemic has changed the way coaches are having to approach their student athletes. And I know this past week you had an opportunity to get back around your young ladies there at Bayside Academy. And tell me about the changes that have come in for you, because there's no manual, there's no tape to be studied, there's no guide on how this is going about. You just have to go by the CDC guidelines. How are you approaching it at Bayside Academy?
Well, we are requiring them to wear their masks when they come in the gym, because they're not social distance. And then we take their temperature, and they come in and they change their shoes, and we do as many drills as we can without them, they're going to be 6 feet apart, just because I feel like the mask wearing is probably more dangerous than that to me is, you just can't make them do too strenuous stuff with the mask on. We use the mask when we do like lead up stuff to, maybe working on some form things, things like that, but we are not running or doing anything strenuous with the mask on. But we're staying 6 feet apart and making it work, and I think the kids are extremely excited to be back, and we got hand sanitizer all over, and they come in one door, leave the other, and we're trying our best to follow the guidelines. It definitely is different, but we'll get through it, like everything else. We'll get through this too, and I think hopefully we're on the backside of it now.
And tell us a little bit about your team. I know you're excited about this bunch, and it's a good group of girls, and I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. Tell us a little bit about them, and what of course we always know what the expectations at Bayside are in volleyball, but tell us what you're looking for out of this team this year.
We're gonna have five seniors, which at Bayside Academy that doesn't occur very often. We had two last year. We lost two really good seniors last year, but this five is, they've been starting for a while. All of them have had significant playing time, and they're just a good group. Got three juniors and one sophomore, so we'll be older this year, so which is exciting, because the last couple of years we've really been younger. But anyway, they're going to be fun to watch. I think we're going to be solid at every position. Really no weak spots hopefully. But they're going to be fun to watch. I think this pandemic has made them a lot more grateful about just being together back at it. So I think that combined with what we have is going to be a great combination.
Coach, I'm interested to know, I see what goes on in football and in weightlifting there, but in volleyball, the drills that you can do in volleyball, I know that they don't want you to share a ball. What kind of drills have you been able to come up with? Because, again, being an 18-time in a row state champion and a Hall of Famer, again, there was no manual, so you have to kind of use the guidelines that have been given to you by the CDC and your school, but have you had to become creative and kind of create your own new drills because of the balls not being allowed to be shared?
You know, we're trying our best. We're actually wiping the balls off pretty frequently, too. That's the thing I really, you know, forgot to mention. But, yeah, I mean, a little bit. I mean, it's not very difficult. I mean, you just try to be smart. I mean, I think I'm probably the most, you know, I am the most compromised in the gym right now with my situation, you know. But, yeah, I mean, we just, like I said, we've got wipes, so we're wiping off the balls. In between, we have two different groups coming in, you know. So not really. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm hoping we're on the back end of this and you know, we're trying our best to adhere to all the rules, but you know, I'm sure we're not perfect. So,
Coach, it's a situation to where it's affected everyone across the board, and normally where you continue to see the growth sometimes in the off season is in club volleyball, along with AAU basketball, your grassroots programs who really have not had the opportunity. And now that states such as Florida and Alabama are slowly opening back up, I know the month of June is normally the opportunity for coaches in basketball and other sports to kind of, in July especially for volleyball, to get with your team. What are your players doing from a club volleyball standpoint, or do you have anyone who's playing travel ball at this point in time continuing to work on their game?
Yeah, I think we have three or four still doing it. You know, I think most of mine went and played beach volleyball, you know, just because it was, I felt like it was a lot safer for them to do that. A couple of them said, hey, can we, you know, could we do this? And I was like, sure, go play beach. So I think I have three or four left playing indoor. You know, I'm not sure what there is going to be a hot mess. I think with what they're going to be allowed to do and then not allowed to do, especially when I think there's like three local tournaments. I think AAU's is still going to be going on next month in Orlando. I'll be curious to see how that kind of plays out. But, you know, it is different. But, you know, I also, on the flip side, I think sometimes these kids need a little bit of break. And I think, you know, for some of them, it's been really good. You know, they've had a couple of months off. And I think, you know, I think that's been good, too. I think you can overdo and, you know, sometimes more is not better, because I do think these kids need a break. So, you know, we'll make it through. Like I said, I've left it up to them as far as the weightlifting and stuff like that. They're doing all that on their own, at least until July, and then we'll reconvene and see, because we have one weight room at Bayside, and, you know, with football, you know, splitting their stuff up, it's just too hard to get in. And so we have done that. And I trust them to do what they're supposed to do. They will, and they are. So,
Coach, for those who don't know, you'll be going for number 19 in a row for Bayside Academy. That's 19 consecutive state championships in a row that your Lady Admirals team will be fighting for this upcoming season. And again, we mentioned that your seniors, a lot of them have not even reached 18 years of age yet, and you know, they weren't even conceived when you guys started winning and getting on this streak. But tell everybody how your health is doing. You mentioned momentarily about your health. Let everybody know how you're doing, how you're feeling, and how everything's going in your life.
I'm doing fantastic. I had a couple of things done, elective surgeries. I had mastectomy on my other cancer-free breast, just, you know, just for safekeeping, and then a total hysterectomy. You know, everything went well, no cancer in any of those spots. So just for my peace of mind, and you know, I did it, and I'm glad I did it. I'll be 4 weeks out this Wednesday, so just everything's gone really well for me. You know, like I said, I'm cancer free. Been cancer free for a year and a half, I think now. So I've had some really miraculous results with everything, and I just my doctors have been phenomenal and all this too, and the major doctor upstairs has been really incredible. But I'm just grateful that I just can continue to do what I love to do, and that's coach and teach. So
Coach, just want to thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. You continue to be an inspiration, and the Prayer Warriors will continue to pray for you, not only here but across the nation. And thank you so much for what you give back to the Bayside Academy community.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks, Ann.
And Schilling, 18-time in a row state volleyball champion. She's a Hall of Famer for sure. Coming up next, head football coach of Pleasant Grove, Daryl LeBeau, joining us here on PSR.
Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I want to thank Ann Schilly, 18-time in a row state champion at Bayside Academy, for joining us in that last segment on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line. And coming right behind Ann Schilly is the head football coach at Pleasant Grove in Birmingham, Alabama, head football coach Daryl LeBeau. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on the Prep Sports Report.
Good morning. How you doing today?
Too blessed to be stressed, Coach, and I know you were excited, as were many other coaches across the country, to get back on campus and get around your guys and just to see them first and foremost, and to kind of see, after you got a chance to talk with them outside of Zoom, to see who really had been working and who really had not been working.
But definitely, you know, like you said, man, just to get back around them, to see them, and, you know, to see them be around each other again, and be able to communicate, and, you know, and how they do laugh and crack jokes, and, you know, kind of mess around. But, you know, for the most part, man, they you can tell some of them been working, and you can tell some of them put on that quarantine weight, so it's going to definitely be a process, you know, trying to get them back together.
You know, Coach, y'all done a great job there at Pleasant Grove, and so happy to see that and what's going on and with your program. Tell us a little bit about your team coming up. I know y'all were just a little bit short of the goal line last year, and that was a great ball game. I mean, you had a great season, but, you know, like we all know, we got to roll on to the next year. So tell us a little bit about your team coming up for this fall.
Man, I think we're in a good position to be able to put together another quality team this year. You know, you definitely don't know until you kick it off, but I have my quarterback coming back, and a couple of my skill guys on offense, and, you know, on defense. We graduated almost everything off the back end, and maybe two or three of the linebackers. So it's going to be a process. You know, the good thing about it, you know, we try to rotate guys during the season to get them some of that playing experience, to, you know, so this time of the year it wouldn't be too stressful on us trying to, you know, put them in a situation of play, you know, and putting them in situations that they already been in. So we're going to see, you know, we're definitely going to see, man. We got a tough schedule ahead of us, so we're going to definitely see.
You talk about your schedule, Coach. Let everybody know what kind of schedule you'll be playing. I mean, we mentioned just moments ago about coming a little short there, and that's always extra motivation when you guys see, hey, look, this is how close we were, you know, in conditioning. We can't cut any corners. We know every single yard, every single sprint, we have to make every single rep count so we can finish strong at the end. And also behind that, tell us a little bit about some of the guys that you have who are in the recruiting era now that coaches can't actually come out and visit. What kind of prospects do you have on Pleasant Grove's campus?
We opening the season up, and first, maybe a couple weeks ago, I agreed to do a jamboree with North Jackson for the zero, at week zero, so it won't be an official game, but we did decide to play them in the jamboree because we didn't get the chance to play this spring. But outside of that, you know, previous to that, we only had nine games. You know, it's kind of tough trying to schedule games this year, but first game of the year, we play Oxford, 6A state champions, and for our five or other nine area game, we're playing Clay Central again. So basically a rematch from the state championship game. And, you know, and along with that, you know, we still have Ramsey that's in the area. Then, you know, we still have to play a tough Parker High School and Winona. And, you know, and we have a new team coming into the area with Cordova and Carver Birmingham. So we definitely have some, you know, some teams that's going to help us be prepared if, you know, we're blessed enough to make it to the playoffs. But this upcoming year, I have my quarterback's coming back. My quarterback ended up being 5A Offensive Player of the Year. Jacquez Perriman, he's right now verbally committed to Charlotte. And then still picking up some offers over this past summer. I think he has like 8 or 9 offers right now. All-state kid 2 years in a row since I've had Zach, since I've been at Pleasant Grove. I think he has 80 touchdowns and almost 6,800 total yards offense. And we have Christian Lewis. Christian has 38 offers right now, plays receiver. I think he has his down to the top 8 in his head about who he want to go to with the likes of, you know, you have UCLA, Notre Dame, Arkansas, Tennessee, Vandy, Louisville, South Carolina, you know, schools like that. So, and then, of course, we have a couple other guys with some mid-major stuff going on. I have another athlete, Jamarion Furlough, that, you know, Furlough scored a touchdown at quarterback, running back, receiver, and had 3 interceptions last year as a junior. And then I have 2 D linemen, D tackle, Martello Kelly, that played the zero for us, or, you know, the shade. And then we also have D-N outside linebacker, Brandon Wilkes, that's been gaining some attention. So we have a few guys, man, but, you know, we got a lot of young pups that's got to step in there this year, too.
Coach, being where Pleasant Grove is located in the Birmingham area, we know everything that's going on across this country with the death of George Floyd. When you got your kids back, not only were they dealing with the pandemic and the school issues, now you're talking to them as a father, as a black male head football coach, just trying to make sure that you take care of your young men, not only on the field but off the field. What words of advice were you able to give them coming back from this pandemic as well in regards to race relations?
Well, you know, man, you know, here in Birmingham, you know, we had the, you know, the, you know, folks, was, you know, peaceful protesting here. And then, of course, you know, you had folks that wasn't peaceful protesting. So, you know, one of my good friends is one of the top trainers here in the state, in Birmingham area. And, you know, to get that phone call from him at 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, like, hey, man, I'm headed downtown to the gym. I just was watching Facebook Live. And they're right there by my business, you know, and he has a black-owned business. So, you know, I jump up and head downtown, you know, just to be there with him to try to help, you know, protect his business. And, you know, he was blessed enough to where he didn't have any damage. But the crazy thing, like the building right next door, you know, had got damaged, which was the leasing office of his building. And it was frustrating. And so I had emergency Zoom meeting the next day. You know, and I told my guys, I said, you know, you got to understand, man, when you're out here, you know, I always preach to them that you're not only representing, you know, the name that's on the front of your jersey, but also the name that's on the back of your jersey. I said, you got to understand that you got to carry yourself a certain way at all times, and we're going to do things a certain way here in Pleasant Grove. I said, are we frustrated? Am I mad? You know, am I peed off and want to go out here and do something or be frustrated at this or at the world? I say, definitely. I said, but it's the way to do everything. And I said, we got to understand that. And I said, you got to understand that everybody's not bad. I said, but the biggest thing that I've learned, man, one thing I learned from Bill Smith, which is now the head football coach at Huffman High School. He said, coach, you always say, coaches. He said, listen, man, you make sure you treat people good. You know, that's his biggest thing. He always say that. He said, you treat people good and you do right by people. He said, everything else will take care of itself. So that's kind of one of the things that I preach to the guys. I say, listen, man, you guys got to understand that you're in a different time now, and, you know, things are different, but you still have to learn how to carry yourself. So if you are in a situation, you know, hopefully we can make sure you get home because you know how to carry yourself, you know how to communicate, you know how to talk.
No doubt about it. Those are great words of wisdom. And you were the first African-American head football coach in Pleasant Grove history. So I know that you're speaking from experience, the pressures that you see sometimes outside of football. Being the first of anything, takes on pressures of its own. And you've done a wonderful job leading that program. And if I'm not mistaken, that's your alma mater as well. And it means a little bit more when it's coming from you have roots tied in.
Yes, sir, definitely. I think, man, you know, my journey so far is a part of my testimony and a part of the things that I'm able to give back to the kids. I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. Born in New Orleans. I moved to Pleasant Grove my senior in high school. When my dad is Frank Warren, played with the Saints 13 years. That's from Birmingham. So, but prior to, you know, my dad and my mom getting together, you know, when I was living in New Orleans, you know, I tell my kids a part of my story. Like, man, listen, guys. I said, man, I know and understand, you know, how it is to, you know, live in a shotgun house with, you know, 5 to 7 family members in there in a 2-bedroom house. But I also know how it is to live in a 7,500 square foot home. So I know where I've been. I know where I don't ever want to go back to. So and those are the type of things that I'm grateful for, man. And so even when just having that, no matter what job it would have been that I would have gotten, I would have treated it like it was the, you know, NFL job, you know, for a guy like me, man. I was going to work my butt off, and I was going to do my best to do right by these kids. You know, that's my biggest thing, trying to put them back in this community as better sons, you know, better husbands, better brothers.
Well, I tell you what, you've done an outstanding job, and I want to congratulate you as well by being named on Steve Mask, Alabama-Mississippi All-Star Game coaching staff. I know that's a tremendous honor, and I know you're going to take that with pride, and it'll be an opportunity for you to network as well.
Definitely. Coach Mask gave me the call and asked me, and the person he called, you know, I thought he was going to ask me to play. I was like, Coach, I'm not about to play you guys, man. But he asked me, and, man, I was excited, you know. And, you know, man, the Lord has been good to me, man. I can honestly say that for, you know, end up being coach of the year this past year, playing for state championship, didn't have an opportunity to coach in this game. I know it's more to it just than me being a good coach, man. So I definitely know that the Lord is doing something special in my life, man. And I'm just honored and blessed to be able to coach with some of these great guys that's on their staff and definitely with a great guy like Coach Mask.
Well, you know, Coach, I would just want to tell you what a great I'm actually have some ties to Pleasant Grove. My brother, one of my brothers, graduated from Pleasant Grove, played football there back in the 80s, and he went on to play at Samford. He was on that first team that Kim Alsop had at Samford back in the 80s, and my mom and daddy lived there for a while, and it's a great community. It is a great community, and I was a little older. I was finishing up college when they moved to Pleasant Grove, but I got to stay there for a little bit. And in fact, I drove from Pleasant Grove to Hewitt Trussell Junior High, my first job in 1982. So that was quite a ride across the bay. Anyway, Coach, I just want to thank you for joining us and thank you for the job that you're doing with your kids, not only on the football field, but off the field and in their lives. Man, that's the most important game we got to win.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And I definitely appreciate it. And you're right, man. You know, I think a lot of folks get caught up in so many different aspects of it, and we forget that the most important thing is putting back into these kids positive things.
Well, you've done that, Coach, and continue to do so. Head football coach at Pleasant Grove, Darryl LeBeau, joining us on the Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland on assignment this morning. Mark Lassiter, Dalton Orwig, and Ian taking your phone calls on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines. And I want to thank head football coach Daryl LeBeau from Pleasant Grove joining us this morning on PSR to talk about his Spartan program and how they're handling and dealing with the pandemic. And a lot going on with everyone being able to get back on campus. But one of the differences that Coach talked about is not being able to have that spring game. Coaches not being able to travel and go to camps and play 7-on-7 against other teams. And that kind of changes the dynamics of recruiting. And it makes it a little bit difficult if you're the student athlete to be seen sometimes when a coach does not come to see you, but you put on a great performance because there's nothing on tape. And now you're realizing that you sometimes in life don't get that second chance opportunity. And somebody who's really taking advantage of continuing to work in the gym is McGill Tulane's own Barry Dunning Jr. This past week, ESPN released its top 60 ranking index for the class of 2022 basketball prospects, and Barry Dunning Jr. from McGill Tulane comes in ranked number 33 in the class of 2022, and that's very impressive when you talk about him really being the only player from the state of Alabama to be included in that list. And when basketball season starts back up, I would encourage you, he's worth the price of admission over there with a great head coach, Philip Murphy, who continues to get him better. And Barry works real hard in the gym, just like during this pandemic. Some guys took time off. Some guys were out flipping tires. Some guys were out creating workouts for them to do. And we have a lot of great student athletes across this state of Alabama when we're able to play football here at the end of August that are highly ranked. I mean, you look at Edwin White, the defensive back from UMS Wright, has already verbally committed to Tennessee. Ivan Schultz, Roger Schultz's son from Alabama fame, he's an offensive lineman, and I do believe he's committed to Troy. And there's a lot of other Christian Burkhalter, the linebacker from Spanish Fort, Barry Davenport, the defensive end from Chickasaw, Jarius Williams, the running back from Blount, I think he's verbally committed to Troy. And when you start continuing to look, Jordan Mosley, the wide receiver from McGill Tulane, has verbally committed to Tennessee. And then you start getting in the top 10 in the state of Alabama from a ranking standpoint, Trent Battle, the quarterback from Daphne. He's a dual sport quarterback, and you start to look at him, he verbally committed to TCU. Also across this local area, Deontay Lawson, the linebacker from Mobile Christian, a phenomenal athlete. He plays basketball as well as football. He's verbally committed to Alabama. Lee Hunter, the big defensive tackle, he's committed verbally committed to Auburn, so we'll keep an eye on that. And the number one prospect in the state of Alabama comes from Pinson Valley, JaQuincy McKinstry.
Say that real fast three times.
I'm telling you, that's one of those that I'm glad his nickname is just Kool-Aid.
It
makes it so much easier when anybody in the state of Alabama or across the country says Kool-Aid, they know that you're talking about JaQuincy McKinstry, the defensive back slash wide receiver. He's 5'11", 172. He has pretty much all the colleges in the country after him right now: Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, Florida, Florida State. And he's a great defensive back, but also is a basketball player as well. And that's something to keep an eye on when you start looking at his ability to possibly play both sports, football and basketball, at the next level. I think that's something to keep your eye on, Coach.
It takes a special person to be able to do it. Charlie Ward is the last person I remember being able to do that at a high level, with Heisman Trophy winner and also a tremendous basketball player for Florida State. And, boy, he was fun to watch.
You're right about that. I mean, think about what Charlie Ward was able to accomplish. He goes on to play several years in the NBA.
Right.
And was a Heisman Trophy winner. So, I mean, when you talk about being that type of dual sport athlete, we know about primetime and Deion Sanders, him playing baseball as well as football. And you look at the overlapping schedule, though, of football and baseball, unless the Atlanta Braves made a postseason push, it really wasn't going to kind of overseed football. But I just love the ability to, when you are a dual sport athlete, here it is, JaQuincy Kool-Aid, as they call him, was able to win a year ago a state championship in basketball and football at Pinson Valley. And Pinson Valley now has a new head football coach, as Coach Nix has now moved on and taken a different high school job as well.
That's right. And I think the recruitment of Kool-Aid, I'm going to say that because I have a hard time saying all those other – there's too many S's in his name. But Kool-Aid is going to be a kid that's going to be recruited by both, and it could be where you see the college football coach and basketball coach at the same university have a plan to recruit him in some way, shape, or form. I'm not sure how all that will play out, but I do think that is a part of his recruiting process. And from all indications, he can play either one of them at the SEC level and be very, very good at both.
So fun to watch again. His five that he has decided, he's narrowed his last five to Auburn, Alabama, Clemson, LSU, and Georgia. So, you know,
pretty good company.
When you start talking about Bo Nix being his high school quarterback, that would kind of be his ties to Auburn. And you know Bruce Pearl, he's not going to turn down a great athlete to play basketball as well, because Auburn now is a top five basketball program in the nation. So it's a little bit harder to kind of crack that roster and that lineup. And then you look at what Nate Oates is trying to build at Alabama in year number two, and we know what Coach Sweeney has been able to accomplish at Clemson. And LSU, they lost everything. They're looking to rebuild, so would it be immediate playing time right there in Georgia? And Kirby Smart was able to come in and get the dynamic wide receiver from Hoover a couple of years ago to become a Georgia Bulldog, who I do believe is a preseason All-SEC player at Georgia this year.
That's correct. I think it's an Alabama-Auburn race on Kool-Aid. I think that's going to what it's going. I don't think he's going to leave the state. I do. That's what I believe. I believe he's going to have – those are the two schools he's kind of looking in. But, you know, what do I know? I don't know the guy. I just know that from what I understand from people talking, that he really likes both universities, and it's going to be a tough decision for him.
And, you know, the MLB draft was this week as well, and we had several high school athletes chosen in the MLB draft. And that's something this year that took a different – swing, because I think there was 40 plus rounds, and this year it got backed up to five, and there was only maybe six high school athletes from the state of Alabama chosen.
Yeah, it's a strange year with only the five rounds, and then beginning tomorrow the teams can start drafting or signing these other guys to free agent contracts. But you had the first Alabama player taken off the board, Justin Foscue, who actually played his college ball at Mississippi State. He's from Huntsville, but he went 14th overall to Texas. And then Auburn pitcher Tanner Burns, who anyone who watched some of the College World Series last season would have known who he is. He played at Decatur High School, ended up going to Cleveland with the 36th pick, and then you had four more after the first round that ended up going to teams. So great job for Alabama high school players there.
No question about it. The state of Alabama continues to produce great athletes as they continue to move on. Hour number two, Buddy Anderson, Hall of Fame football coach at Vestavia Hills, joining us in hour number two.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland on assignment today. I'm Corey LaBounty, joined by Mark Lasseter. Dalton Orwig was running the boards, but now our intern Ian has stepped in and is doing a tremendous job. Want to thank him for the great job he's doing. And here in hour number two, it's a pleasure to have us joining on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines, the head football coach at Vestavia Hills, Buddy Anderson, who is set to retire going into year number 43 as Vestavia's head coach. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Coach, you made the decision here going into this season to get ready to retire, this being your last opportunity to walk the sidelines as head football coach after 42 years as doing so as the head football coach at Vestavia Hills. Tell us kind of what went into that decision.
Well, I mean, I was year 49 total. I was assistant for 6 years before I became the head coach. And, and I just turned 70, and I've been praying and praying, you know, what God had planned for me, because God called me to be a high school Christian coach at January 12th, 1968. And I've been doing my best to follow his calling, and I know he has something else for me, but I was just trying to get a peace about it. You know, when God spoke to me, it wasn't a voice out of the sky. It was not a lightning bolt. It was just he spoke to my heart, and I knew what I was supposed to do. I didn't know exactly how it was going to look, but I knew what I was supposed to do, and he just, as time went on, he laid the path from what ended up being my career. And but as I was praying about this, I couldn't really come to a peace with it. And, I'd already decided to retire because from the teaching part of it, and basically I told my superintendent, I'd let him know at the end of May, and I'd let him know that it was going to be that I was retiring. But then, of course, we've got, that's on top of all this stuff we've been doing with the pandemic, and I hadn't even been able to, you know, look my kids in the eye and see them, and I was concerned about that. But a few days later, he called me back and asked if I would consider coaching this last year. And I said, well, let me talk to my wife. And as we were going out to eat at Cracker Barrel that night, she said, I want to read you something. And I hadn't even told her anything, what the superintendent said. And I said, so she reads this thing she had written several years ago, when it's talking about when God called me to be a coach, and then we, for years, 40-something years, we took kids to Black Mountain, North Carolina, to FCA camp, and the first year we went, 1973, June of 73, she felt the calling from God to be a coach's wife, and that was huge in our relationship. And so so she's telling me that, and I mean, she's reading that, and she's crying, and I'm crying, and we're going to eat, and after we eat, I share with her, you know, what the superintendent said, and she said, well, maybe this is a, you know, God's, you know, opened the door for you to coach this last year, and if that's what you want to do. And I said, well, it kind of feels that way. And in the meantime, one of my kids, I think the day before, had come into my office, and I was having to give out, they left all their clothes and stuff were left in their locker. We left so quick with that pandemic, we didn't have a chance to tell them to take their stuff home. So I was getting this, and I can't open the building up yet, so I was having to go in there and get everybody's equipment as they came by. And this kid says, Coach, when are we going to have our Bible study again? And I said, I really miss the Bible study. I said, well, we're going to start back one as soon as we get the schools open and so forth. And then the next morning, I talked to one of my youngest daughter and told her what the superintendent said, and she said, she started crying, said, Dad, I just felt very strong that you need closure, and that would be one way to get closure, plus it would be you know, I worry about those kids that all they've gone through, their world's turned upside down with this pandemic. Now if you were to leave, that would turn it up a little bit more. So and then I talked to my middle daughter, and she and told her, and she said, well, her husband, Adam, she said, Adam and I have been praying, and we feel the same way, Dad. We feel like that you need a year for closure. Well, and I talked to my older daughter, and she said pretty much the same thing, and it was like, and from that point on, I had a peace that I hadn't had. And so I called the superintendent the next day and told him that I would coach this next year, this fall, but that was going to be it. And so ever since then, I've had a peace with which I haven't had. So I know God has some other plan for me, you know, on down, but down the road. But right now, this will be the last year.
You know, Coach, I'm so happy to hear that you're going to coach this, you know, this year. And at the same time, you know, we're all – well, I'll be sad not to have you roaming the sidelines in Alabama, but at the same time, it's great for you and what you've done. I don't know I think you remember you. My first interview out of college for a job was in 1982, and I interviewed with you for a job at I think it was at your at the middle school.
We were at the high school. I remember exactly where we were. They had a conference room. We were in that conference room.
And you and I prayed together that day, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And it was probably the best interview I've ever been a part of, not for what was said, but for how a relationship was born that day that Coach Anderson and I have had ever since. And I appreciate what you mean in this coaching profession to coaches and kids in your community, because you know, Coach, like you said, when God called you to do what you do, he called you for a reason, and you have lived that reason all these 49 years, and all of us coaches who've been around you have gained from that, and we appreciate what God has done in your life.
And thank you Mark, I appreciate that.
You know, moving forward, Coach, we were talking a little bit about how things are going with your team right now. Kind of how is this? I know you were explaining some things. Y'all kind of got some weight issues and what y'all are doing, and along with the COVID-19 and the social distancing. Tell us about how the Rebels workout went last week.
Well, it went about as good as it could go. We started on Monday. It was our first day, and right now we have no racks in our weight room. We're opening up a ninth grade school, what used to be our middle school, and we moved a bunch of the racks there, and our middle school has moved over to the old Berry High School property, and we put the other racks over there, and our racks are coming in. They just supposed to be in this coming Monday. So we had to do body weight exercises out on the field. We were not able to do any lifting, but it ended up being good, you know. And of course, hopefully the kids got soreness out, and then we'll hopefully get back in the weight room on Tuesday, because they'll be installing on Monday. But so we had that challenge, and then of course we had to have them lined up 6 feet apart all the way around. And have every one of them have a mask, and if they get closer, they wear the mask. And, you know, you mentioned, Mario, sometimes teenagers are like cattle. They just want to, you know, get together in the groups, and you always have to remind them. And I think one day I just meant going around and said, I was the mask Gestapo. I was telling them, if you're within 3 feet, put that mask up. Or if you're not going, if you're not your turn to go run around or do a rep of what we were doing, so you got to wear that mask. It's like, and it was a constant, you know, going. And but it ended up, you know, by the end of the week, by as good as it could be. But you know, at some point we got to be able to touch one another, because yeah, we got to be able to block and tackle. And so that's going to be interesting to see how all this unfolds.
No doubt about it, Coach. Want to hold you over to the next break and talk to you a little bit about your state championship teams that you had in 1980 as well as 1998, and just kind of go down memory lane about how you feel, what game meant the most to you, or was there one outstanding moment that stands out more so than others? We're talking to Hall of Fame Coach Buddy Anderson, the head football coach at Vestavia Hills, who will be roaming the sidelines for his final season right here on Prep Sports Report.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. We're joined on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines by Hall of Fame football coach at Vestavia Hills, Buddy Anderson. He'll be ready to take on his 43rd year as the head football coach of the Vestavia Hill Rebels. And Coach, last March, it would have been 2019, you were inducted into the National Federation of State High School Association Hall of Fame in Chicago, as well as some coach named Tom Osborne. Talk to us a little bit about what that meant to you, getting that honor.
Well, it was very, very meaningful. It was meaningful. You know, just it's hard to describe, you know, that what it meant to me and my family. My family all of them got to go to my induction in Chicago, and we made it a family time, and my brother and his wife got to come, so we all just thoroughly enjoyed it. But, you know, to be inducted with Tom Osborne and Dick Fallsbury, and then, you know, several other candidates that were in, they inducted, and just super fine people I got to meet and got to spend time with. There was a coach from, he was a soccer coach from somewhere, I think it was up in New Jersey. He was 81 years old and still coaching, and he's talking about that there was a guy that was 76 years old that was on his first team. That I'm going, wow, that's something. But it was a great time and great opportunity, and I'm just so blessed.
No question about that, Coach. You've won two state championships while you've been at Vestavia. You won the state championship in 1980, and then in 1998, the Vigor fans right here along this Mobile area are not going to be too happy to hear about that, but you won the state championship in 1998, defeating those Vigor Wolves. Talk to us about those state championships and what they meant to you.
Well, they were both, you know, both very memorable teams, and, you know, but as I think about those teams, I think about the teams that went. I had a couple of teams that went 2-8, and a couple that went 3-7. And those teams were, the kids on those teams were just as important to me as the kids on a state championship, because each year, each team has its own heartbeat, and it's different. And you know, I have a great relationship with those kids. You know, as I did those one state championship, not minimize state championship because they were great. It was a very enjoyable time, both of them. And I would start to say, especially the one in 1980, because that was the first one. And we played Park of our state championship. We had, the crowd was estimated over 35,000 at Legion Field, and it was a beautiful day to play, and it came right down to the end. And just like the Vigor game in 98 came right down to the end, our safety made a great play on a pass in the end zone. We were able to get the ball back and run out the time. But it was both years were great, and the kids were great, and I have a great relationship with, you know, those kids as well as those others I was talking about.
You know, Coach, I was talking to Phil the other day, and for those of y'all who don't know, Phil Lasby and Buddy Anderson are two friends that go back a long, long way. In fact, they played on the same team at Samford. Isn't that correct? The 71
Yes, 71 team. We won the NCAA Division II National Championship that year. It was great. And our team was actually, last year, was voted into the Samford Hall of Fame, Athletic Hall of Fame. The whole team was, and it was great to see so many of my former teammates. And of course, I've seen Phil many times through the years, and because we've competed against one another on opposing sidelines, but also just as friends. And so, you know, that was a meaningful time. It was a meaningful time for all of us.
There was a bunch of guys, if I remember correctly, that came out of that 71 team that went into coaching and became very successful head coaches in the state of Alabama.
Well, just right off the top of my head, and I hope I'm not missing anybody, Bob Newton at Homewood was very successful, won several state championships. Carol Cox, who's going in to the Alabama High School Coaches Hall of Fame whenever they get to have it.
Right.
He'll be going in this year. He was head coach at Jessamine for several years, won a state championship there. And, of course, Phil also. So there's several that came out of that class. I mean, just... And so several others went, you know, and some of them different states and coached.
You're just very successful, Coach. And, you know, I'm sitting next to a guy who's had an opportunity to watch his sons develop as a football coach. And I know that you were watching your dad be a successful football coach. Is your dad really who got you into coaching and what got your passion going?
Well, from my earliest memories, I was on sidelines while they were practicing, and I was trying to remember back what I could remember. Probably about 4 years old, and just being out there while they were practicing, and then I would love going to all the games, because we had our little, just like we had a little patch of grass on the side of the bleachers that we played our own game while they were playing the game.
That's right.
Played a many a game on that little patch of grass the whole time my dad was coaching. And then as I got old enough, I became the water boy. They didn't have ball boys back then because they just played with the same ball the whole,
right.
whole game. But I was a water boy, and I carried a bucket with a dipper, and that's what I did that until I started, well, actually did it for several years while I was playing the youth football, and then my all the way up to the time I went out for high school football. I did that when I went out for high school football. That was in, I'm trying to think of the year. I think it was 64. I'm not positive. It was 63, 64, whatever. I was in the eighth grade. And I've had 56 straight spring trainings. You can imagine, Mark. 56
wow.
of them.
Wow.
And because after my senior year, I helped coach. And then after my senior year in college, I was actually hired at Vestavia in the spring of 1972. So it was, until we had this virus this spring, which would have made it 57. But so, you know, quite a few years. But, you know, being with my dad, and my dad had married late in life, and he said he didn't want to put my brother and I through him coaching us, or he didn't want to put himself through that. So he retired from coaching after coaching for 31 years as my brother went out to spring training. And I don't think he was ready, because he was only 53 and he wasn't really ready to get out. But he was the type, he told you something, that's what he's going to do. And so he had said that, and that's what he did.
Amazing, Coach. And I tell you what, when you look at your National High School Hall of Fame career and being the winningest active coach in the state of Alabama with a 342-154 record, what are you going to look back and probably miss the most, Coach? We got about 2 minutes here before we go to commercial break, but what are you going to miss the most about coaching?
Well, you know, without any doubt, it's the kids. The kids, just the relationship with the kids. They keep you young, and they're, you know, just the relationship with them, and the day in and day out, and watching them develop and see them develop while they're there in high school, and then, you know, later on they become husbands and fathers and leaders in different communities or whatever they're doing. Just to follow them and to be in touch with them every day, and then the. That's going to be the biggest thing I miss.
Well, Coach,
and the relationship with my coaches.
Yes, yeah,
they're all like brothers to me.
You know, it's exactly right, Coach. And I'm so thrilled that you've had this opportunity to touch all the lives that you've touched. And we look forward to watching you guys play this season and watching your last season as the head coach there at Vestavia. And we. We'll be keeping an eye on you, and hopefully we'll get a chance to chat with you during the season on a Saturday morning and see how things are going.
Okay. Be sure and tell Rick I said hello.
Will do, buddy.
Coach Buddy Anderson, thank you so much for your time this morning, Coach, and want to wish you the best and God bless, and thank you for all that you do and have done for the state of Alabama and for the young people around the Vestavia Hills area.
Thank you.
Again, Buddy Anderson. I mean, that is amazing.
Yes,
when you're talking about over 49 years at one school as an assistant, and then 40 going into your 43rd year as the head coach. That's close to three or four generations.
Think of all the children and lives he's touched.
Unbelievable. And like you said, I mean, Vestavia Hills has kept it clean. And he's done it in a positive and a great manner. And great to have him on the show this morning. I want to thank you for his time. Coming up next here on the Prep Sports Report, the new basketball coach at Daphne High School joins us.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty. I remember.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Corey LeBounty, sitting in for Rick Cleveland, who's on assignment this morning. Want to wish him safe travels. Mark Lasseter always joining us in, doing a phenomenal job running the board as Dalton's making sure he pushes all the right buttons to keep us on the air here on FM Talk 106.5. And again, this Saturday morning, I want to thank my mom, Sarah Lynn Andrews, for always tuning in each and every Saturday morning. She always gives me the heads up to see what we're going to talk about and see what topics we're going to discuss. And we've had a great show so far today, and making the show even better. Joining us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line is the new head basketball coach at Daphne, DeMarcus Mosley. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Corey. How y'all doing?
Too blessed to be stressed, Coach. And I tell you what, you're no stranger to the Baldwin County sidelines, as you spent the last three seasons as the head boys basketball coach at Baldwin County. And now you're going to go ahead and take the Trojans up to the highest classification and have an opportunity to coach some 7A basketball at Daphne. Tell us about your new and exciting position.
Yes, sir. Like you said, coming from Baldwin County, I played Daphne for the last 3 years, been competitive games, and I'm excited about the transition. It took me a couple weeks. You know, it was hard because I built something up real special at Baldwin County, but I talked it over with my fiance, and she's an actual graduate of Baldwin County High School, and she said it was the best move for me to make. You know, young Daphne moving up to 7A, and Trojan support is like no other. I've already had many people reach out to me, and it's unbelievable the support that Daphne has, and I'm proud to be a Trojan.
And when you're talking about taking over the Trojan program, you're taking over for a legend in my mind, Cedric Yelding, who spent 18 years as the head basketball coach at Daphne. And again, this is no strange community to you. I mean, being at Bay Minette, having an opportunity to play against Daphne and making the jump to 7A. This pandemic has kind of slowed things down for you, having an opportunity to meet face-to-face with your players, because, of course, you play in Daphne High School. You have film. You can see what they're capable of doing, but there's nothing like having an opportunity to get face-to-face with these guys this past week. Tell us how that went for you.
Yes, I go back to your first point. Coach Yeldon, man, great man, awesome. Awesome mentor. The crazy thing is, when I first got to Baldwin County High School, the first coach I met was Coach Yeldon. And he gave me his number. He said, man, young buck, that's what he always called me, man. Anything you need, I'm here for you. And he stuck to his word. Like, I even had some games, like, we lost a close game to Daphne my second year, buzzer beater at Daphne. And he called me that night and was like, Coach, here's some things I think you need to look at. I went and looked at it. I'm like, man, Coach, I appreciate it. And he been having my back since I've been at Baldwin County. And he watched us grow. Even last year, he was like, Coach, I see it. And you got them boys running. And then before I took the job, I talked to him. He was like, man, I'm going to give you everything you need. And he gave me all the contacts coming up to this COVID. I was like, you know, I don't know anybody. I can't see them. So he actually wrote down everybody's name, number. I got it. I called everybody. Most of them answered. You know, I'm from up north, so it was 256 number. So a lot of people wouldn't answer. It's 251. And, yeah, so I got those contacts. And then we actually st- started Wednesday, I had about 17 in the gym, and we've been working since this past Wednesday. And I had to modify, you know, you got to keep your distance, you got to wear your mask. And then in the Baldwin County, we have a rule that you can't touch the same ball unless you have gloves. So I went and bought different gloves to experiment, like which gloves feel better you can dribble with, just little rubber gloves or I can shoot with. And we've been going at it since Wednesday.
And that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about from a basketball standpoint. We've talked to Coach Ann Schilling from a volleyball standpoint, what kind of drills they've been able to come up with. I know during this pandemic, with guys being able to work out on their own, coaches have had to get creative. And I know you've been on a lot of Zoom coaching clinics, continuing to pick up tidbits. But there is no rule book on how to handle this pandemic in regards to skills and drills, because it's hard to play one-on-one in basketball or five-on-five due to the proximity and the social distancing. Yep. So where have you gone to find new drills, and what have you had to come up with to be creative?
So as I, like I was saying with the gloves, that's the, I think that's the best thing. If any coaches are listening, the black, like the barbershop gloves that barbers use, the little black rubber gloves, they work real well. And what I'm doing, since I'm coming in, I said, well, we really can't like play 5-on-5, 1-on-1. So we're doing a lot of skill development. You know, I said, well, you really can't play basketball if you don't have any skills. So I'm not really worried about putting in an offense or a scheme right now. What we're going to focus on this whole summer is building a basketball player to be well-rounded, dribble, pass, and shoot.
And that's what you have to have.
Yeah, that's what you have to have. And we doing every drill. I got great assistant. That's why I got to tell you. Blake Cope, he's my head JV coach. He's a graduate of Daphne. He played for Coach Yeldon and played at Coastal. And then I have my varsity assistant, Tremaine Perry, which is Coach Perry's husband, the girls' coach. And Tremaine played at the University of Mobile. So I got some great assistants, man. And they came with some drills. I put my drills in, and we just combining what we know and adding it to, we'll go about 2 hours of just skill development. So we're going to get better, just create better basketball players.
And that's the biggest thing. You know, you're only going to be as good as your assistant coaches. And you got a winner in Blake Koch, because I had an opportunity to coach him at Faulkner State, now Coastal Alabama. And he's just a tremendous teacher, very patient. And that's a great opportunity to wear. Coach Perry as well, with his basketball knowledge, that's the first thing that I know a lot of coaches need to do is secure a staff, because it's hard to do by yourself, and it's something you can't do by yourself. So I know you're looking forward to going into that. And the great thing, Coach, is everybody's on equal playing field. I mean, it's not like just because you took this job when you took it and were approved, there's an equal playing field across the board, to where there are only so many things that coaches can do from a skill development standpoint because of the social distancing rules. So I know you'll do a great job there. And you did a great job at Bay Minette. And I just have one request for you, Coach. Just take it easy on the officials, Coach.
Look,
hey,
I was going to tell you about that. People don't know. I said, me and Corey would go back from one game in D.C. Rain. And I could see it on live. It was pretty much my fault, because Corey was right. At the time, I didn't know. And, you know, it was in the heat of the moment.
That's okay, Coach. I totally understand, Coach, because Coach Laster here to my left, I mean, he's found a way to cool his jets as times come along.
And there
you go, Coach. And we all get in the heat of the battle, because, again, being an official and coaching basketball the way I used to, you know, I used to fuss at the officials and give them an earful too. So, you know, you've done a wonderful job with your rapport and how you lead young men, and I think you'll continue to do a wonderful job. And I saw on Facebook yesterday where you and Icon Sports were giving away some free shoes to the Pritchard community. So I tip your cap for giving back and being a part of the great things that Icon Sports, Ron Wallace, and Kevin Thornton are doing there as well. So just continue to be a leader and continue to get your Daphne Trojans ready for this 2020-2021 season, Coach, and wish you the best.
Yes, sir. Hey, Corey. One thing. Now, we're gonna plan something big with Icon Sports. Well, we're gonna do a classic in December, and we're gonna try to have some big name teams come. 27 to 28. Just be on the lookout. I'm giving you a heads up.
Anything we can do here at the Prep Sports Report to continue to promote high school athletics and especially high school basketball, you just let me know. You, Kevin, or Ron, give me those dates and give me the teams, and I'll be more than happy to continue to promote that. Anything we can do, we'll definitely take care of that for you, Coach.
Yes, sir.
DeMarcus Mosley, the new head basketball coach at Daphne High School, is going to do a great job.
Yes, he is. He's a, you know, he comes with high quality character, teaches all the right things, you know, and that's, you know, as we've talked about many times on this show, that's what this show's about. And we are so thankful that in our communities in Mobile and Baldwin County, we have a plethora of coaches who put Christ first, and they believe and they live that and they teach that. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit in the next segment, in the Grace segment, is just some things that are going on in our world and things that our coaches teach every day. And I just think we're so fortunate. We don't know how fortunate we are. And man, I just appreciate Coach's testimony. I realize all these guys have been on here this morning and just continually told us the things that you want to hear.
I mean, you know, this show could not have been any better today. I mean, you start off the show with one Hall of Famer in Ann Schilling winning 18 consecutive volleyball titles. Talk to us about how her team is dealing with the pandemic and the drills and the things that she's doing and her health and how she's preparing. Daryl LeBeau from Pleasant Grove High School in Birmingham telling us, as the first African-American coach, how he's dealing with teams, how he's dealing with his team coming back from the pandemic. And then you talk to Daryl Mosley and, again, Buddy Anderson, the Hall of Famers. So today we've been blessed with Hall of Famers on this show. And, you know, this show, 52 weeks out of the year, during this pandemic, we've continued to spotlight not only our high school athletes, but our coaches, our administrators, our principals, because this has been a trying time, not only for the pandemic, just with all the other things that are going on in the world as well. And we know that we've talked about it, how sports is the ultimate melting pot and how it brings everyone together. And that's why we want it back so bad, to give us a way and an opportunity to continue to bond with one another.
Absolutely.
Coming up next, the Camp Grace segment, our favorite segment right here on the Prep Sports Report on FM Talk 106.5.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile, is the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
And in these troubled times that we live in our world today, we need more grace than we can ask for, we can beg for, but it just needs to be more of it. So many things have gone on. I think about, you know, since New Year's Day to right now, we have seen a pandemic hit our country, and thousands and thousands of people have died, gotten sick. People are unemployed into the millions that we've not seen since the Depression. We've seen people trying to deal with the pandemic, stay-at-home orders. All these things are going on, and you just kind of go, man, that's crazy. We had weather during the winter storms. Here last weekend, we had a tropical depression, and I'm thinking, Lord of mercy, we got a pandemic, we got social unrest like we've not seen since the 60s. And then we got a tropical storm blowing in. I'm like, man, what is going on? And it's just, it's one of those things where you just kind of go, what in the world is going on in our world today, and what is happening, and how do we get through this? Everything keeps coming back to me as troubled times. That's the way I think of it. It's troubled times. And in today's in the media, and if you on social media or on the regular print media or radio media, wherever you are, anything you can say can be misconstrued or diced up to make something sound different. The only thing that I believe that we can do today is like what our coaches have said this morning. I love Daryl LeBeau talking about his friend, coach at Huffman, Bill Smith, who says, treat all people good. And that was the message that Coach LeBeau relayed to his players. Just treat people right. Treat people good with respect and dignity that they deserve. Every single one of them, whether you believe the way they believe or not, whether you are the same color as they are or not, whether you are the same religion, you're the same political beliefs, gender, doesn't matter. Treat people good. It's a simple thing. You go back and I heard Coach Anderson say, I was called by God to coach. That's what he believes. And he said it wasn't a trumpet blowing from the heavens. It was simply God touched his heart. Well, he grew up as a coach's kid. All his life. It seemed like a natural progression. And you know what? He followed God's calling, and it was the right following. And since that time, I remember that interview we talked about a little while ago. He and I just talked about God finding a place. I didn't get that job. I wanted it. I didn't get it. But he talked about, finding, hopefully I will find God will lead me in the place I need to go. And he also told me about, his philosophy on coaching. And it's exactly what he said today. I remember it like it was, we're sitting in a conference room talking. I was 23 years old. That message still rings true today. And the message that God taught us still rings. Ann Schilling talks about it. She talks about what God's doing in her life. That's four coaches we had on this show this morning have talked about what God is doing. Ann shares that, what God is doing with her and what she has learned through her cancer and how God has led her through it. How she talks about God is in control. She and I learned that lesson the same year together. God is in control, not me. And that's what our world has lost sight of, folks, in my opinion. We've lost sight of that. God told us, love one another. That is one of the greatest commandments that we've ever been taught. We do not do that. We don't. We have to love each other because God Almighty loves us all. And the other is that we must love each other as Christ the Messiah loves us all to die for our sins to be forgiven. He loved us enough to do that. And before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, he gave one more commandment. We should love one another. What is love? Simple question. Potentially long and complex answers. But in the simplest terms, it means putting the needs of someone else above your own. Jesus said that there is greater love has no man than we lay down his life for his friends. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God from whom he has not seen. Let me say that one more time. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God from whom he has not seen. In these times of trouble, Matthew 24:8 tells us that God taught us in here. He taught us things. He says that in the days of trouble, increasing frequency and severity in the end of days throughout the world need not be in vain. They can be things that God uses to grow our faith, perseverance, and confidence in his promises, presence, and power. As crazy as it sounds, conflict all around us can lead us to peace of mind and hearts if our hearts and minds stay on God. Folks, we live in troubled times. It's not easy. Life is not easy. This world is not easy. And so many things are wrong in our country and in our world. The only thing that I can do today is I look in this room, these three men I'm sitting here with, is that I know my job today is to love each one of them. I don't care what they believe. I don't care what their political beliefs are. I don't even care if Dalton pulls for Tennessee. I don't care. I'm going to love that man because God told me that's my job. And if I'm supposed to follow the will of God, then that's what I'm supposed to do. It'll correct a lot of problems, guys, if we just love one another. But we've lost that. So we've lost that. And I know there's so many things that we can talk about, and my heart breaks for our country, but it can be reconciled.
And that's the great thing, Coach. That's a powerful, powerful message that you just gave to our listening audience. And I think it's so very important when you talk about loving one another is that there's so many different types of love. I mean, there's agape, there's eros, there's storge, there's philia. And because there's different types of loves, within those different types of love, there's nothing that says that it will not be different, that you can't be different, that I can't be different from you and still not love you. And I think that that's the greatest part about all the types of love that's available to us. And, you know, God's grace and mercy will definitely have to suffice. Want to thank everyone who joined us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Ann Schilling, the head volleyball coach of Bayside Academy. Daryl LeBeau, the head football coach at Pleasant Grove. Buddy Anderson, Hall of Famer from Vestavia Hills Football. DeMarcus Mosley, the head new boys basketball coach at DAP, and he just made this Prep Sports Report a tremendous show. Thank you, and look forward to talking with you next week. God bless.